From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking today with UT Dallas neuroscientist Ted Price. We're talking about understanding chronic pain to discover treatments for chronic pain. Okay, Ted, if I understand this right, we know that there's a biological process that takes place within neurons to make us feel pain. And by we, I mean you. Mm-hmm. What happens outside those neurons, between those neurons, that also affects the way we experience pain?
These neurons have to communicate with each other to send the signal to the brain that is ultimately going to lead to the perception of pain. And the communication between those neurons changes very dramatically. And the other thing that happens is that there's a lot of interaction between cells in your body outside of the brain that is equally important, if not more important, actually. And, you know, I think that one of the things that has been really interesting over the last couple of years that we've learned is that the interaction between the immune system and the nervous system, the peripheral nervous system in particular, is very, very important for the development of chronic pain. So I think, you know, if you were to ask any neuropathic pain patient, for instance, even when they're not doing anything, they feel this stabbing or shooting or sometimes burning pain coming from the limb. And that's very disturbing because it's basically a danger signal mm-hmm. going to your brain and telling your brain, hey, something's wrong, you need to get away from, and you look and there's nothing wrong, right? So I think what we now understand is that the generation of that ectopic activity or spontaneous activity in the peripheral nervous system that shouldn't be there seems to get kicked off by the immune system, but then ultimately signals through these signaling pathways. So that kind of goes back to how our work looking at learning and memory has led to discoveries related to chronic pain.
So the brain and these nerve cells are actually just learning to go straight to pain because of something that has taken place, some change between them that has changed the pathways. Mm-hmm. It sounds almost like the same way that at first before we learn to read, we just see a collection of letters on the page, and then we can sound out the words. But at a certain point, you see, you know, AND, and you read the word and without even really thinking about it, without anyone having to tell you to read this thing.
Yeah, so I think that's a good analogy for what seems to be happening. But the other thing that seems to be occurring is that if you went to the store to pick up a totally blank book to write your notes in, and it was blank when you got it at the store, and then you got home and it was completely filled with scribbling, that would disturb you. That's kind of what the pain system is doing in people that have chronic pain. The pain system should be quiet most of the time because we don't have anything that is trying to injure us most of the time. When the pain system starts going haywire and sending these signals all the time, that is something very seriously wrong with the nervous system. And I think that what we really need to do is we need to figure out ways to develop therapeutics that can reverse that problem. And the fact is that for pain treatment right now, those kind of medications just do not exist.
So if what you want to do is eliminate the buildup of the substances that change the proteins right between mm-hmm. the neurons, how do you do that without also eliminating the same substance within neurons that may be functioning properly?
One of the advantages of studying the pain system is that the peripheral nervous system is actually outside of the blood-brain barrier. So one way that you can get around this is if you can find something that's driving neuronal plasticity in the peripheral nervous system, you can design a therapeutic that doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier at all, potentially.
So let me jump in because you're mm-hmm. using a lot of $5 words here. You're saying if my chronic pain is in my leg, you go to the nerves in the leg rather than touching anything in the brain with a potential drug treatment? Is that
right? That's
right.
The brain has a barrier that keeps endogenous chemicals out, as well as many drugs or other substances that you might take. And that barrier is called the blood-brain barrier. And it's possible to design therapeutics that can have an effect on pathways that are fundamental for neuronal plasticity and target the peripheral nervous system, but avoid the brain. So yes, you could, if the problem is driven by increased excitability in the neurons that are innervating your leg and those neurons developing spontaneous activity, you can potentially target that without having that therapeutic enter the brain.
If you'd like to hear this whole conversation, check out the Think podcast. Simply look for Think in the Explore section of NPR One or use search to find it. You can also subscribe at think.kera.org or wherever you get your podcasts.